today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, as prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 7, prophesied of the Son of Man coming. And it will be a brilliant, visible event, coming with power and great glory. It will be the most dramatic and visible event in human history.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Jesus Christ will return. He's coming back to this earth with power and glory, and followers of Jesus should know what to expect and how to prepare for the arrival of our Lord and Savior. Today on The Verdict, we're continuing in Matthew and getting a glimpse at the majesty of the return of Jesus. Here's Pastor John Monroe with a lesson titled, The Power and the Glory.
The Lord Jesus will return with power and glory. That is His clear teaching in the last verses of Matthew 24, which we've been studying over the last few broadcasts. Last time we saw the differences between the first and second coming of our Lord Jesus. For example, we learned that at His first coming, He comes in humiliation. However, at His second coming, He comes in exaltation with power and great glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This will be a brilliantly visible event, the most dramatic and visible event in human history. Don't think that this history of the world will continue as it is. The Lord Jesus is coming back. What is important is that we respond in the correct way to this reality of the Lord's return.
I want to give you three responses. Responding to the Lord's coming in power and glory. First of all, be ready. Be ready. Now let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Let's read verse 32. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that He is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that hour, that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. First of all, be ready. And in verse 32, there's an illustration of the fig tree. The point is this. Because we don't know when our Lord Jesus is returning, we are not only to wait, but we're to be ready. There's a difference between waiting and being ready. Vigilance is required in view of Christ's return. Jesus gives the analogy of the owner of a home. He understands the thief is going to break into his house at some point. He is vigilant. He stays awake. He doesn't go to sleep. The Lord Jesus is coming when you do not expect Him to come. Verse 44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And Jesus is saying, I love the fact that He says in verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, emphasizing that this is eternal truth. My brothers and my sisters, the Lord Jesus is coming back, and you're to be ready. Even the angels do not know when the Lord Jesus is returning. Verse 36, notice, No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Be ready. And Jesus gives the illustration from the story of Noah and the flood. He draws a parallel. It took many, many years for Noah to build the ark. And during the building of the ark, there was plenty of time for people to hear Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, and for them to get ready and to go into the ark. They had plenty of time. Judgment was coming. The flood was coming, but they ignored it. And did you notice what Jesus says? When the flood came, what happened? It swept them all away. Where was the only place of safety? The ark. Genesis 7 verse 16 says, when the flood came, the door of the ark was shut. Who shut the door? God. God shut the door. The only place of safety from the judgment of God was the ark, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming. He's coming with a rod of iron to rule. He's coming to judge the unbelievers. The only place of safety is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready. Two men, says Jesus, will be working in the fields. One will be taken and the other left. Two women are going to be at work. They're grinding at the mill. One is taken and the other left. No, this is not the rapture. The ones taken in Matthew 24 are taken in judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns with power and glory, he's going to judge the unbelievers. And when he returns, judgment is coming. I say to all of you, are you ready? Some of you have sat in these pews and you have heard myself and others over and over again urge you to place your trust in Jesus Christ. But for whatever reason, you've not yet done that. You've not yet humbled yourself and repented of your sin and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. How foolish! The Son of Man is coming, and he's going to come and judge all unbelievers. Go to the ark. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, be ready. Secondly, be diligent. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Anyone here wants to be a faithful and wise servant of the Lord Jesus? Here's the illustration. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant say to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces. Here's the judgment of God illustration. And put him with hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A clear illustration. Here is the master of the house, and he puts you in charge of the household. You're to be wise. You're to be a faithful servant. You don't know when the master is going to come, but the day of accountability has come. But you need to be diligent. You need to get to work. You're not to be lazy and have a party and get drunk and abuse the privilege of being the servant of the master. No, be diligent. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he asks us to be diligent, to occupy till he comes. A master has to be faithful in taking care of his master's house when the master is away. If he abuses that privilege, he will be dealt with very severely when the master returns. What's the point Jesus is making? And this is the teaching of Jesus. It's not mine. It's the teaching of Jesus. You say, it's very tough. It is very tough because God is a holy God, and we tend to trivialize sin, and we think we can live as we like, and because God does not immediately judge us, everything is all right. No. Be diligent. He's coming back. Are you serving the master now? Are you diligent? The point is this. Understanding the future impacts how I live today. It was Martin Luther who said that for the Christian, there's really only 2 days. There is today, this day, and then there is that day, the day when Christ returns. I'm to live today in the light of that day. I am to be ready, I am to be diligent, and the third one, I am to be holy. Holy? Of course. The Lord Jesus is coming. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Little book of Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 2. You find this convicting? I find it very convicting. Because Jesus is returning, we must live holy lives. Titus 2, verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope. What's that? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our hope. This is what we're waiting for. Get all of your future bound up in this world. Don't do that. Waiting for the blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to, notice it, purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. What does the Lord Jesus do? He purifies for himself a people for his own possession. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God is holy. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes, and in the brilliant wonder of salvation, he cleanses all of our sins. He remembers them no more. The spotless Lamb of God died for me and took away all of my sin. But he calls me now, John, I want you to live a holy life. Put your name there. God is calling you to be holy as he is holy. Go further in your Bible to the Epistle of John, 1 John. Getting towards the end of your Bible, John writes 3 letters. The longest one is his first epistle. 1 John, same man who writes Revelation, writes these wonderful letters to us. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's the manner of his love. John is talking not so much of the fact of the love of God, it's the kind of love. What kind of love does the Father have for us? What is it? That we should be called children of God. And so we are. He adopts us into his family, the holy family, the church, the family of God. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, it's his second coming, when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. We sang in that wonderful song about the kingdom of God, we're justified, we're sanctified, and one day we're going to be glorified. That is when I see Christ. I'm going to be perfectly like him. That has not yet happened. I am not yet glorified. Don't expect perfection from me. I'm not yet glorified. I'm in the sanctification stage, and so are you. We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Here it is, verse 3. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. How wonderful, you say, that when I came to Christ, and when I come to Christ, all of my sins are washed away. You want a second chance in life? You wish you could begin again? That's what conversion does. That's what it means to be born again. You have a fresh start. Now I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's cleansed me of my sin, but now he calls me and he calls you to live a holy life. We are the bride of Christ. And soon Christ, the bridegroom, is coming for us. Over the years, I've officiated at all kinds of weddings. Some very large and elaborate, some very small and simple. But in every case, I was thinking yesterday, I can't think of one exception. In every case, the bride has always been ready on her wedding day. Sometimes she's been a little late, but she's always been there. And when she appears, she's always ready. I've never had to say to the bride, wait a minute, wash your face, manicure your nails, and are you really getting married in that dress? And your hair, I mean, you look as if you've been drawn through a hedge backwards. I mean, go and tidy yourself up, and then we'll begin. I can still get my wife to laugh. Isn't that wonderful? No, every bride that I have been part of the wedding, but I've been privileged to officiate, has been prepared. She spent a lot of time. Don't ask me all that they do. I'm not interested. But I know they spend a lot of time preparing herself so that when she walks down that aisle or whatever aisle it is, she is ready. She's presenting herself spotless in her beauty to her groom. She's ready, she's been diligent, and she has kept herself pure. If she's been separated from her fiancé for some time, she's not dating someone else. No, she's kept herself pure. She's ready for that amazing day when she's going to be joined in holy matrimony. You get the picture? Christ is the bridegroom, he's ready. You don't want to be ashamed. You are, to use the words of the New Testament, to cast off the words of darkness. We are, because the Lord Jesus Christ is returning, we are to live pure, holy lives as we wait his glorious return. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 13. He says, besides this, you know, the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. You say, well, I thought we were saved. Yes. But there's a sense in which there's the consummation of our salvation when we see Christ. Paul is saying that's nearer now than when you first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. What's the day? The day of the Lord. So then, let us, are you listening to this? Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Are you dabbling in the darkness? Let us walk properly as in the daytime. You say, what does that mean? Paul tells us, not in orgies and drunkenness. Who said the Bible wasn't practical? Not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Any immorality in your life? Any sexual impurity? Any drunkenness, substance abuse, indulgence? What about quarreling? You're always in a fight. What about jealousy? In your own family, in ministry, work, you're jealous, you're covetous, and you're a contentious person. That's all of the work of darkness. Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify his desires. I'm to put on the beauty of my Lord Jesus Christ, his compassion, his holiness, his truth, his kindness, putting on these wonderful virtues, casting off the works of darkness. Why? Because the day is near. Be holy. He's coming back. Be holy. One day, one definite and glorious day, perhaps today, the Lord Jesus will come from heaven to the air. All of his followers will be raptured to meet him and so be with him forever. That's the next event in God's prophetic calendar. Personally, I can't wait for it. Someone told me they had a tough day yesterday, a tough day this week. Somebody's texting me. I had a tough day yesterday thinking of the passing of my son. And I thought, how wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back for his authentic followers. Those who've not believed in him, those who've only paid lip service to him, those who have never received him personally as their Savior and Lord will be left behind, left to experience, yes, the judgment of God. The rapture, the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the Lord's coming with power and great glory to set up his millennial kingdom, and he shall reign forever and ever. You say, John, how can I be ready? That question is asked in John chapter 14 when Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. And do you know the way in? And Thomas says, no, we don't know the way. Do you remember Jesus' magnificent reply? Do you want to know how to get ready? Do you want to know the way? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from me. It is all of Christ, this magnificent Savior that we were singing about, who came to our world of darkness and of sin and paid the price for our sin, died and rose again and is eternally alive and is coming back. And if you put your trust in him, he'll take you to heaven. It will be well with your soul. The stage is now set for the return of our Lord Jesus. Jesus is telling us when he comes, there's no time for preparation. You're to be ready now. He's coming like a thief in the night. Those who don't trust Christ will be left, and they will experience the judgment of God. I beg you, I urge you today to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Do it, and do it now, right now. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Be diligent and be holy. Help us, Father, to do that, we pray. We repent that we're sometimes so earth-centered rather than Christ-centered, that we're looking at the things below rather than the things that are above. There are some here who have never yet bowed the knee to Christ. They've never surrendered their life to the Savior. Oh, Father, through your Spirit, convict them. Open our eyes. We thank you for your patience, that you've not yet come so that many will still in this day of grace repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The Power and the Glory. Before we get to John's closing remarks, I'd like to tell you about the special free resource we're offering our listeners right now from The Verdict. It's a booklet written by John that's focused on what Jesus taught his followers about how to follow him on a daily basis. This booklet walks you through the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's packed with insightful notes that will help you apply the practical instruction of Jesus so that you can grow in your walk with him each day. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and you can request your free copy today by going to our website at theverdict.org. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give right now, visit theverdict.org. And remember, no matter where you're listening from or what your schedule looks like, you can always hear these messages by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast, available through your podcast app. When you subscribe, we also encourage you to consider leaving a review to help other listeners find the program. Like this one listener who said, by the help of the Spirit and Dr. Monroe's Bible teaching, I've grown a lot in grace and knowledge, tons of application. Praise God. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? I have to ask if you're ready for the return of the Lord Jesus. Well, we don't know when he's coming. He certainly is coming back with power and glory. Therefore, you must be ready. This undeniable truth that Jesus is returning means that we should live holy lives in expectation and anticipation. His return is a great motivation to keep looking to Christ, to keep living for his glory. Make sure you've received the Lord Jesus as your Savior and are bowing to him as Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.